Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. I'm not entirely sure what it's been about this week that's made it so long and arduous. And I could tell you a couple of jokes now, but I'd probably offend at least 17,000 of you. So hi, let's just say it's the 11th of October. That's two ones put together, which is just crazy if you think about that. Hi there again. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that's figured out the new way to deal with talking to bosses. Hey, did you get that thing done? Hey, where's that TPS report? Hey, this is the fantastically talented, amazing podcasting Fritz Siegfried.
Nobody hit me to that, dude.
Hey there. I'm the guy that hears everything the same way. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn. What happened this day, sir?
In 1582, because of the adoption of the Gregorian calendar, this day does not exist in this year in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain.
My God, do they exist now? 1811, inventor John Stevens' boat, the Juliana, begins operations as the first steam-powered ferry servicing New York City to Hoboken.
1906, San Francisco Public School Board sparks a diplomatic crisis between the United States and Japan by ordering Japanese students to be taught in racially segregated schools.
America, it's nothing new. 1910, former President Theodore Roosevelt becomes the first U.S. president to fly in an airplane. He flew for 4 minutes with Arch Hoxie, who has a great name, in a plane built by the Wright brothers at Kinlock Field in St. Louis, Missouri.
1950, CBS's mechanical color system is the first to be licensed for broadcast by the FCC.
1956, the Muppets make their first network television appearance on The Steve Allen Show.
1957, MIT scientists calculate Sputnik 1's booster's rocket orbit. That's right. I pluralized everything except for the thing that was supposed to be.
Should have had MITs. 1958, NASA launches the lunar probe Pioneer 1. It falls back to Earth and burns up, so nothing was learned.
1968, NASA launches Apollo 7, the first successful manned Apollo mission. Hey, they broke the streak. With astronauts Wally Schirra, Don F. Eisel, and Walter Cunningham aboard.
1975, NBC's sketch comedy variety show Saturday Night, later to become known as Saturday Night Live, debuts with George Carlin as the host, Andy Kaufman's around, James Ian, and Billy Preston. It was just jam-packed with talent.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially Andy Kaufman's first stuff. Woo. Aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger in 1984, astronaut Catherine D. Sullivan becomes the first American woman to perform a spacewalk.
When is someone going to do a moonwalk in space? That's what I want to see.
Neil Armstrong. That's who.
1991, Touchstone Pictures releases the comedy film Ernest Scared Stupid, starring Jim Varney.
2000, NASA launches STS-92, the 100th space shuttle mission using Space Shuttle Discovery. Wait.
It says 92.
Numbers off.
Yeah, right. What the?
That's what they want you to think.
2001, the Polaroid Corporation files for federal bankruptcy protection because people found a different way to take those pictures to not share with anyone else that they did anyway.
Yeah, it's called Snapchat. 2004, the PBS Kids Go programming block is introduced, replacing PBS Kids Bookworm Bunch, a joint programming block with Nelvana Limited.
2006, 30 Rock, starring Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin, debuts on NBC, and Madonna adopts a boy from Malawi, Africa.
In the same episode?
I guess. I don't know why it's written that way at all.
Because one actually had a positive impact on the world, and the other one was from Madonna.
Birthdays?
Michelle Trachtenberg, 34, from Adventures of Pete and Pete, Buffy, 6 Feet Under, Gossip Girl, Eurotrip, and Cop Out.
Martha McIsaac is 35 from Superbad, Last House on the Left, that's the remake, 1600 Pen, and The Pinkertons.
The very handsome Matt Bomer, 42 years old, from White Collar, American Horror Story, Ken in Magic Mike, The Nice Guys, Magnificent Seven, and constantly signs Sean Marr when you come up to him for an autograph.
Emily Deschanel is 43 from The Alamo, Boogeyman, Rose Red, and Bones.
Stephen Moyer's 50 from Prince Valiant, and of course, Vampire Bill and True Blood. Shooky.
Jane Krakowski is 51 from Ally McBeal, Cirque de Freak, The Vampire's Assistant, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and 30 Rock, in which she helped Madonna adopt a child.
Artie Lang, 52 years old, from Mad TV, Mystery Men, Old School, the Norm MacDonald movie Dirty Work, and also we celebrate him on being clean and sober, finally.
Again, Sean Patrick Flannery is 54. That's young Indiana Jones, Powder, Boondock Saints, Greg Stilson in the Dead Zone TV series.
That's a handsome man, too. Oh, also a Suicide King. He hasn't done a lot, But the stuff they did was really, really good. He was in that season of Dexter, too.
Oh, that's true.
He's one of those guys that kind of flies under the radar. Michael J. Nelson, 55, from MST and Riff Tracks.
Also wrote the novel Death Rat. Joan Cusack is 57 years of age from Saturday Night Live, Working Girl, Gross Point Blank, Jesse and Toy Story, and of course, pop star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
I still have a crush on her. And we, of course, can't forget with the opening movie, Addams Family Values.
Oh, duh. That's right.
Basically, just go down John's IMDb and there's a fair chance she's in at least 107% of them. Don French, 62, from French and Saunders. Vicar of Dibley, Prisoner of Azkaban, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Ron Liebman is 92 from Slaughterhouse-Five, Super Cops, Up the Academy, Zorro the Gay Blade, and of course Ron Cadillac on Archer.
Born to stay no longer with us in 1821, George Williams, English philanthropist, founded the YMCA.
It's fun to 1844, Henry J. Hines, an American businessman, founded the H.J. Hines Company because no one else could.
It's fun to eat Hines ketchup.
I prefer Hines.
1913, Joe Simon, first editor of Timely Comics, now, of course, Marvel, co-created the Newsboy Legion, the Boy Commandos, and Manhunter.
1926, Earl Hyman was the voice of Pantero in Thundercats and played Grandpa on a show from the 80s that we don't talk about as much anymore.
Oh, that's right.
What the heck is a samoflange?
1935, Dan Evans founded Cracker Barrel Old Country Store.
1966, Luke Perry from 90210, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Goodnight for the Justice series, Riverdale, which did a fantastic memorial to him, and Dudes and Dragons.
Which, incidentally, his son is a new wrestler with AEW by the name of Jungle Boy.
Nice!
On CBS, we've got a new Hawaii 50, Magnum 3.14, and Blue Bloods.
ABC, it's a new American Housewife, Fish Off the Boat, and What Would You Do, 2020?
New, The Blacklist, and Dateline, Comedy Central.
Fox, it's Friday Night Smackdown!
Brother. CW, Maggie, and Marcy take over their duties, but when a mysterious hooded figure attacks, they escape through a portal and land in a secret location as Harry spars with the new villain on a new Charmed and Dynasty.
Freeform has the greatest Halloween film ever, A Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's also the greatest Christmas movie of all time. Huh. AMC has Jurassic Park 3.
FX has Pacific Rim. Don't say the next word.
Oh, I like that movie so much. FXX, Simpsons, and the fabulous, the fabulous Faker Boys.
See, they got
they freaked me out.
FXM has Dracula Untold being told over 2 hours.
BBC America has what do we call that?
Fist Wiener.
Wiener.
Paramount is going to be showing Ace Ventura, both the good one and the not so good one.
The second one's okay. Sci-fi, Love Less on a new Van Helsing.
Turner Classic Movies is showing Ghidra, the three-headed monster.
Nice.
Sharp fangs, huh?
TBS National League Championship Series, Game 1.
TNT is showing Battleship. It's kind of like community service. You have to show it.
I'd like a chicken burrito. It's the best line in the movie. Science Channel has Unearthing Ancient Secrets Marathon.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because Karen Miller's got it all. The perfect marriage, perfect husband, perfect life. But then her husband disappears on the business trip and is presumed dead. Her life falls apart. She begins to realize her perfect husband was not all he seemed. Mary Badham and Michael Welch star in Erasing His Past.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad and Stefan pull a load of fresh eggs and a trailer with a broken refrigerator so I wouldn't eat them eggs. They pull that up into Las Vegas, where Chad meets two friends from back east. Kate, who is now a car dealer, and her ex-husband Stefano, who is now a former stunt driver. They know if they all work together, they can get this whole thing stirring forward. Hashtag Chad forever.
You got mail, baby.
Good morning. It took a little Googling, but I believe Chad and Abby are working the convoy on... Always enjoy the show. Keep it up. That is from Jared. Well, thank you, Jared. And you're absolutely right. That is exactly what is occurring on the very show that you say it is occurring on. So congrats. And if you have the slightest idea of where they might be, you've got over the weekend to make it all happen. And you can do some Googling yourself. That's right. This isn't trivia. We encourage you to look stuff up. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, tell us in a voicemail by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
Or just slip us $20 and we'll tell you.
Now, me, I have standards.
Hello, Christopher. What insanity are you up to today?
Oh, hey, Lydia. I'm downloading some movies.
What? People are always telling me that's illegal.
Not these. They're all public domain. Oh, look, Rescue from Gilligan's Island.
Well, let me see what you're doing. Oh, you're at archive.org. Well, they have thousands of films, TV shows, commercials, radio shows, and books available.
Yeah, but there are so many. I wish there was a podcast or something that would discuss these things. You know, give us an idea of what's worth the time.
Christopher, there is. We do one.
Oh, that's right. We host Orphan Entertainment. Once a month, we pick something and review and discuss it. That sure is nice of us.
Sure. Why don't you click over to Orphan Entertainment and remind yourself a little more about the show?
Oh, will do. Let's see, that's at orphanentertainment.com. And yeah, it looks like we're available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Oh, hey, can we review the Gilligan's Island movie someday?
Mm-hmm. We'll see, Christopher. We'll see.
Hi, this is Sean Marr, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. I don't know why.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You're just being silly with us, but that's fine. We'll take it.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Well, yeah, and they get made. What is out this weekend, sir, that's not the Joker that people might go see?
If I had known that you were going to play that drop, we would have wished him a happy birthday during the... In limited release, we've got The Corpse of an Unidentified Suicide Victim walks out of a morgue and into a psychiatric hospital, becoming the object of obsession for a troubled doctor. The reanimated John Doe is creepy enough in its own right, and that's before he reveals the nature of the power that brought him back. Billy Sinise and Shane Carruth in The Dead Center, which is kind of like a rent-a-center.
Bunny Man was about a killer who wore a bunny suit. And this film picks up after the original Bunny Man is killed, sorry, spoilers, and his brother escapes a mental institute and starts killing in the bunny suit. Meredith Binder, Sheila Houlihan, and Tabitha Bastian star in Beloved Beast.
The spiritual successor to Harvey. Thomas Edison is the celebrity inventor on the verge of bringing electricity to Manhattan with his radical new DC technology. On the eve of his triumph, his plans are upended by charismatic businessman George Westinghouse, who believes he and his partner, the upstart genius Nikola Tesla, have a superior idea for how to rapidly electrify America with AC current. As Edison and Westinghouse grapple for who will power the nation, they spark one of the first and greatest corporate feuds in American history, establishing for future titans of industry the need to break all the rules. Tom Holland, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Shannon, and Nicholas Houl star in The Current War. No word on if the soundtrack is provided by AC/DC.
Streaming only. In the wake of his dramatic escape from captivity, Jesse must come to terms with his past in order to forge some kind of future. Matt Jones, Vince Gilligan, Aaron Paul star in El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie.
In nationwide release, a choreographer casts a contemporary dancer and an innovative pianist in a new Broadway show. Janine Damian, Jane Seymour, and Ace Bahat star in High Strung. Free dance.
Phil has a major dependency issue. He's addicted to his phone. He has no friends. He has a job writing pop culture top 10 lists, and his love life, non-existent. But his Facebook status is about to change when he's forced to upgrade his phone. The latest model comes with an unexpected feature. Jexy, an AI life coach, virtual assistant, and cheerleader. With her help, Phil begins to get a real life. But as he becomes less dependent on his phone, Jexy's artificial intelligence morphs into a tech nightmare, determined to keep Phil to herself, even if it means ruining his chances of finding success. Adam Devine, Rose Byrne, Michael Pena, Alexandra Shipp, and Wanda Sykes star in the movie that is her crossed with electric dreams, Jexy.
See, I was going to say her mixed with Cable Guy, but I think yours is smarter. Henry Brogan is an elite assassin who is suddenly targeted and pursued by a mysterious young operative that seemingly can predict his every move because it's a clone version of him.
What?
Because that's the twist, and it's in the trailers. Will Smith, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, David Benioff, and the uncanny Will Smith star in Gemini Man.
The Addams Family face off against a crafty reality TV host while also preparing for their extended family to arrive for a major celebration, which looks like it's the direct-to-video movie, but done right. Finn Wolfhard, Oscar Isaac, Allison Janney, Chloe Grace Moretz, and not Joan Cusack star in The Addams Family.
I'm so looking forward to that. And in fact, we should have a review of that this weekend from the Cinemistress. But if that's not enough creepy, kooky, mysterious, and spooky thrills for you, then tune into Svengoolie on MeTV because he's bringing the ookie. Have you ever gone up to someone in a crowd and thought they were someone else? Well, Svengoolie brings you the 1932 classic that features that timeless tale as a resurrected Egyptian mummy stalks a beautiful woman he believes to be the reincarnation of his lover and bride. See Zita Johann, David Manners, and Boris Karloff as one of the classic universal monsters in the original The Mummy.
Tom Cruise not included.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view.
After over a decade in development, the long-planned Masters of the Universe reboot may finally be happening, but maybe not getting a theatrical release.
Which means Skeletor has right to use Catra and Shuckati instead of Count Marzo, because he relies far too much on that amulet of power.
True story. Sony has its Masters of the Universe reboot slated to hit theaters 2021, and while Noah Centineo from To All the Boys I've Loved Before was in talks to play He-Man at one point, it's unclear if he's still involved. He confirmed his involvement in April, but nothing says that he's still involved with the project.
Guess they'll have to go with a CGI lead. Boo, Sony.
King Hiss. King Hiss.
Sony is currently weighing whether or not to find a studio or financier to help with the cost of the project or to sell it to Netflix in hopes of avoiding a potential flop. On one hand, it's understandable. Outside of Spider-Man Far From Home that made $1 billion, Sony's had plenty of losses this year, including that Men in Black reboot, Men in Black International, along with other notable losses. It's said that concerns over the studio's marketing cost were far too high, especially on films that seemed doomed prior to release.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that the studio that gave us Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo, The Dark Tower, and Pixels doesn't know how to make money? Posh, I say.
Sony Pictures Motion Picture Group co-president Sanford Panich is handling negotiations between Sony and Netflix. Talks are still said to be preliminary. Netflix, of course, is currently home to the animated She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, and is soon set to launch a He-Man animated series from Kevin Smith. So a Masters of the Universe live-action franchise would fit in just fine at Netflix and give us all hope for a new He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
Take a deep breath. Maybe sit down. Are you ready to get your childhood completely ruined?
What? They are still doing the Princess Bride remake?
No, thankfully. But you remember that amazing X-Men the Animated Series theme song that was such a staple of our Saturday mornings? Even if you listen to it now, it holds up as an amazing tone setter for an ultimately fun series. And there's no way such an iconic legacy could be tainted in any way, right? Wrong. Maybe.
Well, I mean, we could forgive the bad animation of the last season, Juggernaut being played for comedy, and that they had to call the Hellfire Club the Circle Club.
A lawsuit has been filed against media companies connected to X-Men the Animated Series, including Marvel, Disney, Fox, Apple, Amazon, and others, over the theme song. Zoltán Krisko, a real person, who manages the estate of Hungarian composer Georgi Vukan, who created the theme song to the show Linda, which ran from 84 to 91 in Hungary. That's right. TV show in Hungary.
Na 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 na. Theirs goes na 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 na.
The suit claims that TV execs rubbed elbows with Hungarian filmmakers in the 1980s, and as such, they would have known about Linda and its theme song. He suggests they definitely would have known about Linda because it was such a massive hit at the time.
But they didn't know about X-Men?
Well, Krisko says he didn't learn of the X-Men series and its theme until 2017. But he alleges and docs all the success the franchise achieved for Marvel and many other companies as a result of that iconic and, as he claims, stolen theme song.
It's true. You know, I personally tuned into over 194 episodes and I left after the theme on every one. Come to think of it, I've never seen a full episode in my life.
If this was the case, then every other actor would be recording and singing their show's theme songs. I mean, there's money to be made in it. Look, just ask Lee Majors, Will Smith, Alan Thicke, Greg Evigan. You're welcome, Gen Xers.
Atari, the great granddaddy of video gaming, still out there, even with all those acquisitions and bankruptcies, though they are very different than what it used to be.
They don't even bury games in landfills anymore.
In an effort to recapture their glory, Atari announced that they were making a new device called the Atari VCS. Well, they announced it 2 years ago. And instead of just being a retro console that's all the rage these days, Atari promised the VCS would be a full-fledged modern games device. It was to be a Steam machine right down to running Linux to power contemporary PC games.
Like the Atari Flashback series?
It always sounded too good, too weird, and a little too vague to even be true, even if it did promise the return of the classic Atari wood paneling. But there have not been any working demos. No screenshots. Nothing.
Look, it's difficult to figure out how to make cartridges out of biodegradable things in case they end up in a landfill. But these things take time, remember. Duke Nukem Forever was the best game of 1997.
You're not wrong. A recent update has placed a shadow over the VCS. Rob Wyatt, lead architect of the VCS and co-creator of the first Xbox, has quit Atari altogether, claiming he and his design team at Tin Giant have not been paid in 6 months. While Atari insisted to their paying crowdfunding backers that the console is still on track for a March 2020 release, Wyatt is skeptical, especially since he quit. And considering Atari's hyping up stuff like printings of AMD, Ryzen circuit boards, and exterior casings, stuff that should have been nailed down by now, it's hard to not be skeptical.
How can you doubt the people that promised to bring Pac-Man experience to your living room? Or putting in our head that he's had sex?
Atari acknowledged Wyatt's departure, but said the project is a result of multiple people and teams. They're also promising hands-on events later this fall, but we'll just have to wait and see if Atari delivers something amazing, or if they join the ranks of Ovation, Infinium Phantom, or Nintendo PlayStation. Fingers crossed, because I have always wanted to play the Atari 2600 versions of Lord of the Rings, Journey to Rivendell, iRobot, and The Last Starfighter.
In a statement on his blog, Brian Kibler has announced that he will no longer be casting the Hearthstone Grandmasters Finals at this year's BlizzCon.
Oh, is he finally going to be a dodgeball announcer?
It is the Game of Kings.
After Blizzard banned Blitzchung from Grandmasters and removed his prize earnings for the political statement, Liberate Hong Kong, Revolution of Our Age, during the Grandmasters, Brian Kibler, the caster, has dropped out of casting the Grand Finals. He states he is no longer comfortable casting the event and will not be casting Grandmasters in the future unless something changes.
Z doesn't look like Winnie the Pooh at all. We good now, China?
Yes. Yes, he does. This high-profile disagreement comes after American University held up a Free Hong Kong sign during the Hearthstone Collegiate Tournament, resulting in disabled cameras for the rest of the matches, and someone at Blizzard covered up the Think Globally and Every Voice Matters portions of the orc statue on Blizzard's Irvine campus.
That's fine. That's fine. Every time China puts up a wall, a Mongolian comes and knocks it down.
Quote from Brian Kibler, I won't pretend to understand either the intricacies of the geopolitical situation in China and Hong Kong or the full extent of Blizzard's business interests there. But to me, this penalty feels like it is deeply rooted in both. The heavy-handedness of it feels like someone insisted that Blizzard make an example of Blitzchung, not only to discourage others from similar acts in the future, but also to appease those upset by the outburst itself. This kind of appeasement is simply not something I can, in good conscience, be associated with. When I learned about the ruling, I reached out to Blizzard and informed them that I no longer feel comfortable casting the Grandmasters Finals at BlizzCon. I will not be a smiling face on camera that tacitly endorses this decision. Unless something changes, I will have no involvement in Grandmasters moving forward. However, I want to make clear that not everyone involved in GM has this luxury. Do not take your anger out on the other casters or streamers or employees of Blizzard. This is not the kind of decision that comes from the rank and file. Most likely, they're just as angry as you are. I know I am.
We get that a company's goal is to make money, but this one in particular, pretty cut and dry.
And we stand with you and your battle against Lopan in the Hundred Acre Wood.
Solar panels. Many say that we should be using more and more of them as it is a clean way to get energy. The one most typically used is a type that generates electricity from the sun through a physical process called the photovoltaic effect, when light exposure on certain materials generates an electrical current. Another type generates electricity from heat through thermal processes, when the sun is hotter and the earth is cooler, and the difference in temperature can be converted into usable energy.
But there is a downside. Stable geniuses discovered that the sun goes down, and then it may surprise you. They do not work.
To shut those people up, researchers at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, discovered a new system that can harness energy in darkness. It's based on the concept of using heat to generate energy, but an inverse version of the solar panel. While the solar panel uses the heat difference between the sun and the earth, with the earth being cooler side, their system makes use of the heat difference between the coolness of the night atmosphere and the earth, with the earth being the hotter side.
When will they develop one that gets power from the lights it powers?
Dubbed the anti-solar panel by some, the device has the potential to bridge the gap left by solar energy, collecting energy from the night sky. The thermoelectric generator-based device harnesses the variance in temperature between Earth and outer space by using a passive cooling mechanism known as radiative sky cooling to maintain the cold side of a thermoelectric generator several degrees below ambient.
Look, I just run a drop cord to my neighbor's house. Problem solved.
The researchers have only tested their system with a very small prototype. The device was a 20-centimeter aluminum disc painted black and hooked up to a commercial thermoelectricity generator. It successfully created enough energy to power a single small LED light bulb and did not make you look orange. A small success will immeasurably massive potential. It's even possible the device could act in reverse during the daytime, absorbing sunlight and producing electricity from heat traveling from the sun to the disc and into the outside environment.
Could they completely reverse the polarity and make like a sun laser? You always have more options when you can go both ways.
That is true. Hi, Brandon. Okay. Once they're able to refine the system to produce anywhere close to as much energy as a standard solar panel, it could completely transform the renewable energy sector. It's cheaper to make and can provide a way to generate electricity at a time that solar panels can't. This could truly help our energy needs, cut costs, and means you have to stop making fun of all those people in black because emos figured out how to bring us all into the light. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 9.3.0 license. Look, I mean, Robert Smith has been trying to tell you the whole time. He had the cure. Come on, people! Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD-CREW.
That explains why there aren't any goth anti-vaxxers.
They simply hate the cure. Absolutely. Mwah! Good night, everybody.
What do you think?
It stinks.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Peace out, player.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
What a dumb thing to do. I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
Good night, suckers.
Everything we know about you guys is wrong.
Who are you?
Rodney Vervegaard, sir.
Vervegaard? With a V? Oh, yeah. I have your dossier right here. Checked in last night. Oh, yeah. You're the firebug from Handelman.
They never proved that, sir.
Why are you not wearing regulation glasses?
Oh, they, melted down. My nightstand burst into flames one night.
Those sodiums you wear make you stand out like a turd in a punch bowl. You will acquire new ones.
I will.
I will what, Zitface?
I will, sir.
Oh, you get up now, boy.
I say get up!
Oh, if you can't, put your goddamn hand down. If you can't see me, you will hear me. I'll give you the short version. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you are thinking, I'll be watching you. You get the rest later.